Right, good morning. It's good to be here with you this morning. I know that you guys are sitting here, and we heard from people who serve, especially on Sundays with different ministries. And I was just thinking how, when people arrive here in this auditorium, things are said, and music sounds nice, and the video is working. But especially this morning, it was like maybe 5 minutes left, and we're still trying to figure certain things out. And so that just even that much more caused me to be appreciative for people who do serve, come early and set things up. And we want to kind of do that together to build this church up, as Daniel mentioned, so that people who come will be edified and strengthened, but also we can proclaim and preach the gospel to those who will come in the future. So thank you for serving, and encourage you to be part of our team this morning. All right, we're gonna look at Luke chapter 24, which is the chapter that we looked at last Sunday. We're in a season of Easter, meaning we not only celebrate one Easter Sunday, but we want to take time to remember Jesus' resurrection throughout this month and next month. It's we call it Easter Tide or season of Easter. Biblically, it's Jesus rose again. He stayed with his disciples for 40 days, and then after 40 days, he ascended to heaven, and after 10 days, the Pentecost or the Holy Spirit came on the day of Pentecost. So that's about 50 days, and so we want to think and kind of stay in the season of Easter for about 50 days, thinking about Jesus' resurrection intentionally. And what we want to do this during the season is, during Lent, we talked about how we want to put away things that are not of God, things that are not true, things that are false. Well, during Easter season, we want to put on the life of God and think about how can we live the Christian life effectively? What does it look like for us to put on the life of God and live in a way that God calls us to live? And what's really helpful, I think about this. When after Jesus rose from the dead, he didn't immediately go up to heaven. He spent 40 days with his disciples. I don't know if you ever thought about that. Why did he do that? Why did he not just go up to heaven, but stayed with his disciples for 40 days? I think those 40 days are actually pretty crucial. And that's what we're going to think about today. So if you have your Bibles with you, turn with me to Luke chapter 24. If your device is open, Luke chapter 24, we'll look at verses 13 through 35. It's a well-known passage, but it's a bit lengthy, so I'm going to go ahead and read for us. Please follow along as I read this morning. Luke chapter 24, verse 13. That very day, two of them were going to a village named Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and they were talking with each other about all these things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing together, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What is this conversation that you are holding with each other as you walk?" And they stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, named Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who does not know the thing that what had happened there in these days?" And he said to them, Jesus said to them, What things?" And they said to him, "Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, a man who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and rulers delivered him up to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things have happened. Moreover, some women in our company amazed us. They were at the tomb early in the morning, and when they did not find his body, they came back saying that they had even seen a vision of angels who said that he was still alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see. And he said to them, that's Jesus said to them, "Oh, foolish ones and slow of heart to believe all that the prophet have spoken. Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into glory?" And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Verse 28, so they drew near to the village to which they were going. He acted as if he were going further. But they urged him strongly, saying, stay with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is now far spent. So he went in to stay with them. When he was at table with them, he took bread and blessed and broke it and gave to them. And their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, did not our hearts burn within us while he talked to us on the road, while he opened to us the scriptures? And they rose at the same hour and returned to Jerusalem, and they found the 11 and those who were with them gathered together, saying, the Lord has risen indeed and has appeared to Simon. Then they told him what had happened on the road and how he was known to them in the breaking of the bread. And we'll stop there. So this is a pretty well-known passage. And, when you read a book of 1 Corinthians, it talks about how Jesus appeared to many people, and he even appeared to 500 people at one time. So the question is, why did Jesus not just immediately after the resurrection ascend to heaven, but he stayed with his disciples for 40 days? And I think what's helpful here is Luke gives us this account. Now, if you think about Jesus being with the disciples for 40 days, he appeared to them in many different occasions, but we only have a couple of narratives about what he actually did. And so here in the Gospel of Luke, Luke gives us this particular account to help us to know what it looks like to live with God, what it looks like for us to live with the risen Christ. And so I want to give you three things about that. So number one, life with Jesus starts with believing he is alive. Now that's pretty simple, right? And we talked about this last Sunday. Life with Jesus starts with believing that he is alive. And so here, what Luke's telling us, so Luke, Jesus rose from the dead, the angels come, angels tell the women, he's alive, he's not dead. And so these two disciples, are journeying back home to Emmaus from Jerusalem. And they are just talking about what's taking place. There are a lot of questions. And as they walk, Jesus walks with them. Initially, they don't recognize who he is. Jesus walks with them. But I want you to notice here how when Luke gives us this account, we know there are two disciples, but he only mentions one disciple by name, right? His name is Cleopas. And so we want to kind of think about, why doesn't Luke give us both of these disciples' names? Why only one name? Or why doesn't he just not mention anyone's name? But he intentionally gives us one of the disciples' names, and the other disciple's name is omitted. There's a biblical scholar named Richard Bauckham, and he wrote a book called Jesus and Eyewitnesses. And this is what he says in his book. He says, there is one phenomenon in the Gospels that has never been satisfactorily explained. It concerns names. Many characters in the Gospels are unnamed, but others are named. I want to suggest now the possibility that many of these named characters were eyewitnesses who not only originated the traditions to which their names are attached, but also continued to tell their stories as authoritative guarantors of their traditions. In some cases, the evangelists may well have known them. So what he's saying when we read these names in the Gospels, because when you read Matthew and then read Mark and Luke, like different characters or different people are named. So for instance, only in book of Luke, Cleopas is named. The other books don't have his name. And what he's saying is Luke records this person's name because he was an eyewitness source. So Cleopas most likely was in the vicinity of the original readers of the Gospel of Luke. So if they wanted to validate what they were reading, they could have gone to Cleopas and asked him about this particular account. And Richard Bauckham talks about how in the ancient times, documents were validated. Their names were embedded in a document so that as you read, you go, let me go and talk to Cleopas. Let me go talk to Bartimaeus in Book of Mark. And let me make sure that this, what I'm reading, is valid. And so what Luke is doing, according to Richard Bauckham, and I think there's a very good chance that this is what's happening here. What Luke is doing is he's telling his original readers that Jesus actually died. He was actually buried, and he rose again, and there were eyewitnesses. And if you want to talk to someone, go talk to Cleopas, because he actually saw the risen Christ. He's an eyewitness source of this account. So what Luke's doing is, first, if you want to walk with Christ, so we're thinking about walking with Jesus, how do we do that well? Well, step number one is to believe that Jesus is alive. Now, some of you might think, okay, you know, intellectually, maybe I could kind of think about that, but like, how do I really know? I'm not going to go into it, but just I thought two things. One, the Apostle Paul talks about how the Holy Spirit is a deposit in our hearts, meaning as you read Scripture, at times the Holy Spirit speaks to us. You sense God's Spirit in us, and it's a deposit of what is to come. So subjectively, there is a sense of truth that the Holy Spirit validates in your soul, in your heart, of what you're reading. And the second thought I had was, it takes faith, obviously, but it's not blind faith. It's a faith that is rooted in a historical account, and it might take more faith for someone not to believe in the resurrection account than to actually believe in the resurrection account. Because the question that we need to ask is, how do you explain the church? And you need to go back, you know, 2,000 years, and then you get to a place where you go, how did these disciples who were uneducated, marginalized, weak, poor, they were terrified when Jesus died, but within a couple of weeks, they turned around their whole life and began to proclaim the gospel, risking their life. You go, how do you explain that? And there are a lot of theories, you know, and we're not going to go into that this morning, but there are a lot of theories of how that took place. But the explanation that we have is that they actually saw the risen Christ. So it might take more faith for someone not to believe in the resurrection than to actually believe in the resurrection. And that's what Luke is giving us. He's telling us Cleopas, as well as other disciples, actually saw the risen Jesus. And that's where we start. We start with, how do we walk with Christ well? We believe that Jesus is alive. That's the number one. Number two, life with Jesus means seeing and hearing Jesus in the Scriptures. Now, this is really, really important, and I think it's really interesting. Look at verse 25 with me. So Jesus appears to these two disciples, and he begins to talk to them, and this is what he says. Jesus says, "O foolish ones and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into glory?" Verse 27, "And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself." And then if you jump down, we didn't read this section, but let me just read this briefly. Verse 44. This is when Jesus appears to the 11 disciples. He said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. So this is what Luke's telling us. Jesus spent 40 days with his disciples after the resurrection. According to Luke, you know what Jesus did? He did Bible studies with them. He took the Old Testament and from the law, from Moses to the prophets to the Psalms, he said, "All that you've studied, it ultimately points to me." That's what Jesus did for 40 days. He did this, I don't know, Old Testament survey or an in-depth Bible study, going through the law, the prophets and the Psalms and said, all of that, all the things that you've learned, it was ultimately about me. That's what Jesus here does. 40 days, that's what he does. Now you think about this. He could have done many different things, right? I mean, he's Christ. He had 40 days. He could have done so many things. Maybe he could have performed more miracles to kind of bolster their faith. He could have, I don't know, he could have given a sermon, a new instructions. That's not what he does. He takes the Torah, he takes the Old Testament, and he tells the disciples, look, look at what Moses wrote. Look at what the prophets said. Look at the Psalms. They are all about me. And we know that the disciples took this to heart because in the book of Acts, the very first thing that they do as they gather together, Acts chapter 2, verse 42 says, they were devoted to the teachings of the apostle. What's the teachings of the apostle? Well, it's what the apostles learned from Christ. So here's what it means. If we want to live our Christian life well, if we want to live a resurrected life well, it has to involve God's word. Because it's through God's word that he, Jesus, reveals himself to us. He speaks to us through his word. Sometimes we think about our Christian life and we go, man, I wish my life was more, there's more energy, or there's more vitality in my Christian walk, when we are very distant from God's written word. Again, Jesus, after the resurrection, during his 40 days with his disciples, this is what he did. He studied scriptures with them. When David and Chris Manfred was here with us, they're the regional directors of Cambodia. When they were with us, I think it was during our staff lunch with them, and we asked them different things. And one of the things that they talked about, they have a few members in their team, and their whole like task is to translate the Bible from English or Greek to some obscure language. And he talked about how it takes decades for someone to complete that. So think about this. Someone, their whole life's work is about translating the Bible from one language to another language. Why would anyone spend 20, 30, 40, sometimes 50 years to translate the Bible to another language? I mean, that's their whole life's work. Well, it's because we still believe that Jesus is revealed and speaks through his written word. His word, the New Testament tells us, is alive. It's active. So when the word of God is read or spoken or preached, studied, it can burn our hearts. That's what these disciples talked about after they realized, these two disciples realized that it was Jesus. They said, when he spoke to us, our hearts burned. That's how reading his word, that's the impact that God's living word can have on us. Again, friends, this is so elementary, but it's so important that Jesus, before he went away from his disciples, spent 40 days explaining the Old Testament and told the disciples, all that you read is about me. And the amazing thing is, whether you are a brand new Christian who's just excited about reading God's word for the first time, or someone who's been a Christian for a long time, we need God's word in our life. The Apostle Paul, at the very end of his life, the last letter that he wrote is 2 Timothy, at the last chapter. So this is when he's old, right? He is a veteran missionary. He's in prison. He tells Timothy two things. He says, please come visit me. When you come visit me, remember to bring a cloak, because he's in a prison. It's cold. It's winter. He needs a cloak. And then he says, make sure to bring my scrolls, including my parchment, meaning he's talking about God's word. He says, I need these two things. And think about Paul. He was someone who saw the risen Jesus. He performed miracles, and even his writings to these different churches, they actually became the New Testament. But even Paul, he says, I need a Pharisee who knew the Old Testament. I need to study. I need to read God's word. So Timothy, make sure you bring the scrolls to me. So friends, this is what we need. We cannot live our Christian life, have a sense of vitality apart from God's word, because Jesus is revealed through scripture and he speaks to us through his word. Now we could talk about this. We could take hours to talk about how this gets applied in our life. But let me just mention five things. These five things I learned when I was in college. We hear the word of God. So that means whether a podcast, when you come to church, someone speaks, someone sings about God. So we hear God's word. That's one way. We read God's word. That's just reading. Like reading any book. You just read again and again and again. You study God's word. Hopefully you could do that on your own, but you could do that in our small groups. We meditate on God's word. And then we memorize God's word. I was thinking about it actually this week. When I was in college, for a semester, I was part of a group called Navigators, and they were experts in memorizing scripture. And the leader gave me this little blue packet that had 40 verses inside. Some of the verses that I memorized when I was in college, it still pops into my mind. I haven't memorized chunks of scripture, but those verses that I memorized when I was in my early 20s or late teens, it still is ingrained in my mind, and they're so helpful. We do need to make sure that because there's so many other distractions and other options to entertain ourselves, we really have to make God's word a priority. And the original church, it talked about how they were devoted to studying the teachings of the apostle. I thought about that word devoted. It means to kind of persevere in, to attach yourself, to be committed in. And that's something that we need to think about. How devoted are we in reading scripture? Because again, it's through scripture that Jesus reveals himself to us and he speaks to us. All right, that's number two. Number three, briefly, life with Jesus means that we walk with him. So Jesus appears. He walks with these two disciples 7 miles. I don't know, that could be half a day, maybe. Walking with God is the main metaphor the Bible uses to talk about our life with God. And the Bible doesn't say run with God. Doesn't say sit with God. It says walk with God. And I think it's intentional. Walk with God. When God appeared to Abraham, he says, Abraham, walk before me and be blameless. When the Apostle Paul talks to the church, oftentimes he would say, I urge you to walk in a manner that is worthy of your calling, to walk with God. That's our calling. We walk with God. What does that mean? I mean, it could mean many things, but just a couple of thoughts here. Walking with God, walking with someone, whether it's God or someone else, walking is different than running, right? Running is about destination. You want to get there as quickly as you can, so you run. But walking with someone or walking with God is different. It's about not so much destination. I mean, that is there, but primarily it's about friendship. It's about conversation. Because it's awfully hard to run and actually have a conversation that's meaningful. But when you're walking with someone, you could actually look at each other. You could hold hands if you want to. And you could talk. It's about friendship, companionship, conversation, intimacy. I think that's what God is calling us to do. Walk with him. And that's what Jesus does here. Jesus comes and he asks them questions. Right? Initially, they don't recognize who he is. And there's a whole other thought. Why didn't they recognize who Jesus was? He was probably different and same at the same time, but the passage says there could have been some kind of blindness or Jesus revealed, hid himself or something. But the point is, Jesus comes and he, rather than saying, guys, this is who I am, he asks them questions. I think that's significant, because Jesus is not about giving us answers or making our life easy in some sense. He wants to draw out like what's in us. He's more concerned about like the state of our hearts. It's like when God appeared to Adam and Eve when they sinned. And God knew all things, but God asks them questions. Well, where are you? The same thing with Jesus. He appears. He knows all things. He knows. He has all the answers, but he asks them, what took place in Jerusalem? Like, what happened? Why is that? And it's out of that they recognize how sad they were and how disappointed they were, because they were hoping that this Messiah would redeem Israel. Sometimes that's what happens when God walks with us. He asks us questions. Rather than giving us answers to make things quick and easy, he kind of points at, why are you feeling this way? What is this about? I mean, that's walking, right? That's living with someone. That's walking. It's a conversation. And walking means our whole life is involved. When the New Testament says, walk before God, or walk in a manner that's worthy of his calling, it's talking about our whole life ought to involve him. So living our Christian life means to walk with him. Now, some of you might be thinking, oh, it'd be great if Jesus came, like appeared to me and he walked with me. That'd be awesome. Like, I could see Jesus and I could hear Jesus and he could lead me and he could guide, he could help me to discern what's good and what's bad. I mean, I would love it. I mean, some of you guys know the answer. I mean, he is with us because of the Holy Spirit. He's always walking with us. Actually, the New Testament talks about how we live and breathe and walk in his presence. We cannot never be outside of God's presence. So he's always walking with us. It's a matter of us just being more intentional about recognizing his presence in us, around us. He's with us. He's walking with us. So thinking about how do we live the Christian life? What did Jesus do before he ascended to heaven? How did he prepare his disciples? Essentially, I mean, he did these three things. He proved that he was risen from the dead. He taught them scripture. And then later he says to the disciples, wait until the Holy Spirit comes upon you to empower you. He gave them the Spirit. Those three things. Apart from those three things, we can't live our Christian life. We believe and trust that he's risen. We hear him and see him in the Word of God. And then we sense his presence, empowerment, as he walks with us through his Spirit. How we could close is just, when in Genesis chapter 3, when Adam and Eve sinned, the passage says God was walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And then it says, but Adam and Eve hid from God. They were trying to hide, but they couldn't really hide because, God is all-knowing and he's omnipresent. And I wonder if that's how some of us live our Christian life. God is walking with us all the time. And yet, rather than engaging with God, hearing from God, having our hearts open to God, sometimes we feel like we need to hide from God. We don't have to hide from God. God knows all things. Jesus knew the answer. He knows all things. He wants us to be near him. He wants us to walk with him. And so maybe that's how we can kind of think about, okay, am I walking with God? He's with me. He's speaking to me. Am I trying to hide rather than walk with him? The way that we could close is Jesus revealed himself when he broke bread. And so I was thinking this morning, we come to the table each Sunday, don't we? And there's something about coming to God's table where we have the bread and the cup that represents Jesus' body and his blood. And as we come to the table this morning, let's come and meet, encounter Christ this morning because he's with us. Let's have our hearts open so that he can speak to us, lead us, and guide us. Again, friends, I know many of us want to live a Christian life that's good, that's alive, that's have energy, vitality. We cannot do it apart from the presence of God. We cannot do it apart from the Word of God. We need these two things. Right, so let's pray, and we'll close our time.